is from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Praying to you, O Lord. Now, there were large crowds traveling with Jesus. And he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me, but does not hate mother and father, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, will not first sit down and estimate the cost, so that you would know that you are able, or so that he would know that he were able to complete it? For otherwise, if he lays the foundation and cannot complete it, then everyone who sees it will begin saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or which king, about to go to war, wage war against another king, would not first consider whether with 10,000 troops he might be able to oppose one who comes at him with 20,000? For if he cannot, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for terms of peace. So therefore, whoever wants to follow me and be my disciple cannot do so unless they give up all their possessions." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Invite the children to head out for Word for Children in the comfy chairs. The story is The Little Engine That Could. Oh, that was one of my favorites as a child. And it's read by Renata, half Erickson, I guess. Renata will be reading it out there. They'll hear the story along with the telling of the story that we just had in a little bit simpler words. The Toronto Raptors won the NBA title. But not to brag, we're from San Antonio. While we were living in San Antonio, the San Antonio Spurs won 5 NBA titles. Not to brag. Now, we very much enjoyed that. But to call me a fanatic or a fan of the San Antonio Spurs is a real stretch. I guess the best you could say is that I was a fair weather fan. Because for the most part, I wouldn't pay attention during the season. If I happened to get some tickets to a game, I would go and enjoy that. But it wasn't until the playoffs started, and they were in the playoffs, that I started noticing. And sometimes it wasn't until I heard that they were going to be in the finals that I really started paying attention. And then I was all in. And so to call me a fan is a stretch, because fan really is short for fanatic. And when I think about a fanatic is someone who lives or dies, like a fan or a fanatic of the Spurs die by whether the Spurs are winning or not. And today's gospel, I would assert, is about being a fanatic. We usually don't talk about being a fanatic for Jesus. The word that, the nice churchy word we use is disciple. What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? And I would have you try on today that being a disciple of Jesus is not being a fair weather fan, but being a fanatic for Jesus. So to continue with the sports metaphor, yesterday there was a tennis match in New York City, and Bianca Andreescu beat Serena Williams to win the U.S. Open. She was the first Canadian in any major title in tennis. Yay. And it was, and I was, you know, I was a fair weather fan. I'd heard something about Bianca a couple of weeks ago when she won the Rogers Cup. But then when I started getting tweets about Bianca being the next great tennis phenom from Canada, then I started paying attention. Sure enough, I watched most of the match yesterday. But what struck me is there were, I think most of Canada was rooting for her. And there were even some Canadians in the stands that every so often they zoomed in on. And Pastor Laura said, you know, if we were there, we'd be on TV. Because we'd be wearing our Canadian red and white or whatever, and they would have zoomed in on us because there just weren't many of them. But after she won, of course, you know, I mean, she kind of just flopped on the court. But then she started looking for her parents and trying to get to, I would say, she called them her team. Those people that she hugged, I think the first person, I mean, she had to climb up this ladder, and you know, I don't know if you saw it, it was kind of like, yikes, hope she doesn't fall. But she climbed up the ladder into the stands, and she started hugging her team. Those are the folks that were fanatics about about Bianca. They were the ones that had rearranged their lives, rearranged their priorities, had spent resources and time and invested in themselves, and especially her parents. Apparently were immigrants from Romania who kind of were determined to give her the best life possible. Those are the fanatics for Bianca. Now, I don't want to carry it too far. I hope that she might also be a fanatic for Jesus. I was heartened that she made the sign of the cross, you know, at one point. But what does it look like to be a fanatic for Jesus? And oh my gosh, there are some harsh, harsh words about what it looks like to be a disciple, to be a fanatic for Jesus. Talks about hating father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. It talks about carrying the cross. And it sums up, so therefore, anyone, whoever wants to be my disciple, must give up all their possessions. Who can do that? Some of the commentaries, they acknowledge that the large crowds that were following Jesus were probably full of quite a few people that were wealthy. And he turned to them and said, you must give up all your possessions. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to possess. What do you possess? I would say that when we tend to take something and feel that it is our own, then we're talking about possession. And so in terms of possession, we tend to relate to the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the houses that we live in, the furniture, all the numerous toys, things as our possessions, things that we possess. And of course, there are things that we possess or that we relate to as possessions that are a little bit different too. We may be relating to some people, their spouse or their children are their possessions. Others believe their reputations, their possession, that they have fame and they want to possess fame, or whatever it is, they want to have something that they want to hang on to that no one will take away from them. When Jesus says, to be my disciple, you must give up all your possessions, Jesus is going right to the heart of what we tend to do as humans. Is we tend to latch on to things that will give us life, latch on to things that we think will make life comfortable, latch on to things that give us meaning, and we want to hang on to them and protect them. And Jesus is saying, you must give up possessing. Give up possessing. Instead of relating to all that you own as your possessions, what would it look like to relate to all that you own as something that's been entrusted you for the life of the world? Certainly, when we talk about our families, it starts shifting. Instead of owning your parents or owning your wife and children and possessing them, what if you recognize them as gifts that have been entrusted to you to nurture and care for the life of the world? What if your very abilities, your very intellect, your passions, whatever it is that wants to consume your life, what if you give up possessing it and inquire into what does it look like to have this be a blessing, to give life to the world? I think this is the key to understanding. I think those statements about hating and hating and hating are, I think they're hyperbolic, but they are words that wake us up and wonder, why would Jesus use such harsh language? And I think Jesus knew that the way of the world is to try to possess as much as you can. If you think about what does a world look like where almost everybody is trying to possess more and more, it kind of looks like the world that we have for the most part. And Jesus knew the trap that was. God knows in the first reading, it says, I give you the choice between life and death. God gives us that choice. And the life of possessing more and more is a choice to die. It's a choice to be about death. Jesus knew that to liberate, to have life abound, to have people experience life, one has to be free. One has to find a way to not be trapped by all that possesses them. Because when you possess stuff, it actually possesses you. The more you try to hang on, the more of your life goes to trying to hang on, and it actually possesses you. And Jesus' invitation is, Jesus' challenge, Jesus' word to us is, you've got to get off that merry-go-round, or you cannot be my disciple. But Jesus, who can do that? I think the place to start is with God. Did God hate God's Son? No. Was God willing to give up God's Son for the sake of the world? Yes. Did God hang on to God's Spirit so that no one else might have it? No, God gave up God's Spirit so that it might be available to all. And we trust it in baptism. It's in each one of us. But it has to be nurtured. It has to be given room to grow and to move and to animate us. And then Jesus continued his life in so many terms. I mean, you might say he kind of achieved some degree of fame. Only that's questionable how famous he was at the time. But in almost all the other worldly matters, he didn't possess very much. He didn't possess anything. Hardly any material goods. Probably had enough clothes to go a day or two. Gave up all his possessions. Refused to own and possess anything. Gave up his dignity. Gave up his whatever fame and authority he had, allowed himself to be humiliated in front of the people that he was there to bring life to. And he was given a cross to carry, a symbol of humiliation, a symbol of how the Roman Empire and religious leaders at the time could exert control and power over him. And he carried that cross, knowing that whatever they were trying to possess and take away from him was not going to impact who he was. He carried that cross. I was thinking today, it's almost like a big question mark. It's a question mark to the world saying, are you sure that what you think life is about is really about that? And he carried that cross. And Jesus gave, the one thing he did have was his life, and he gave up his life so that life may abound. We are disciples. We are called to be disciples of that person. One who follows, the person who follows God's example, to trust in the power of love, to trust that actually when you give away, you actually receive more. Not to get caught up in the cycles of violence and the cycles of possession, the things that rob us and take us down and down and down. But instead, to be people who carry the cross, who risk going against what's going on in society for the sake of the world. Who live a different way. Who constantly check and make sure that there's something that hasn't become more central, more important to them than loving God and loving neighbor. Jesus invites us to choose life. And when we choose life, when we make all that we have available for the sake of the world, for the sake of God's people, for the sake of our neighbor, for each other, when we risk all that we have, give it up, God's promise is that then you'll have life. Then you'll be a disciple of Jesus, and not only will you have life, but the people around you will, by your example, by what you do, will have life. Jesus doesn't ask very much. He just asks for it all. But the promise is, you will receive it all. Amen.